There it is. All right, before we get started here, I remembered it last week, and then this week it slipped my mind. Today is Promotion Sunday. So, everybody is moving up a grade. Y'all included? Yes, you're graduating. So, I see everyone's... Yeah, you may not be moving classes, but some of you are. So, let's see who we got back there. All right. There's Miss Shirley. Okay. All right. Yes, she's working. Okay, so if you are in... let's do this. If you're going into... What do I say? 4 years old, going into kindergarten, you are going into Mrs. Shirley's class. And if you are going into first grade, then you are going to go with Sarah Lynn back there. And if you are going into the fourth grade, you're going to be with Miss Denise. And if you're going into seventh grade, or you're a child at heart, you're going in. You are going into Craig's class, seventh grade. So, all right. So now we know where we're going. All right. Good, good, good. And if you're an adult in here, you're just stuck. You're stuck in this class. All right. All right, let's see. Alan, can you close those doors back there? Psalm 23 is where we're going to start. And we're going to talk about some comforts in this life. Comforts in this life that the Lord provides for His people. And be a little bit of a topical study going through. We're just going to go through the Bible as these appear. But I think one of the things that the Lord said before He was crucified and resurrected, He told the disciples, He said, I must go so that I can send you the Comforter. And that's the title. It's the title of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. And I was trying to think if there were any other, sorry about the coughing. I'm like just, I mowed the grass and I just stirred everything up. But I was trying to think of titles, other titles given to the Holy Ghost. I mean, then, you know, capitalized titles given to Him. And I couldn't really think of any others other than the Spirit. Yeah. The Spirit of God. And as far as, and then Holy Ghost is one, but then like the office of that describes His role. I don't know. Does it say Counselor? I don't think so. But Comforter was one that's very, it's very clear. It shows up in John 14 and 16. And that ought to make you think and makes me think, that the Lord knew something about what His people were going to need when He left. And so it's very specific. It's comfort. And maybe you think of comfort as pleasure. But it can be a pleasurable experience. It can be a good thing. But it's not necessarily pleasure in the sense of satisfying the flesh. It's peace. It's joy. It's the ability to do right in the midst of wrong, and not get sideways. And so, that all said, I think the world desperately searches for pleasure in the midst of stress and trouble. That's what the world does. They're trying to relieve and balance out the stress and the trouble of life with pleasure. Just something that relieves the flesh and even excites it. And so, that's what the world does. But a Christian, someone who is one of God's people, a Christian isn't seeking pleasure in order to distract from suffering. I think you and I, if you're saved and you're looking for what the Lord wants you to look for, He set up areas of comfort and places where you're supposed to get comfort. And I think of this also, that when Christians or people avoid the places where the Lord provides comfort, it almost inevitably leads to sin, almost inevitably leads to the inability to do what needs to be done. It leads to a bad spirit. And so comfort is what you and I need. Comfort is what Christians need. That's and God set it up so it would be that way. And so that's what we're going to talk about. I've got a few of these, and we'll go through them as they show up in the Bible. And we're going to talk about comforts in this life. Comforts in this life. But let's pray, and then we'll deal with this subject. Father, I pray that you would help us through this. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for the words of God. Thank you for the teachers, Lord. Pray that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit to minister to the kids. And Father, thank you for really, thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ, for eternal life, the free gift of eternal life and righteousness that gets credited to us. It's your righteousness that we need. And Lord, I pray that we'd be fed, we'd be edified, we'd be helped through these words that are your words. And then anybody here is lost, they would understand their need for Jesus Christ and understand their sin before a holy God, understand judgment, and then understand the salvation that you provide in Jesus Christ. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Psalm 23:4. Here's the first one that we'll look at. Very famous psalm, probably the most famous psalm and perhaps the most famous set of verses in the Bible. Psalm 23, verse 4. Here's a source of comfort in this life. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," and David knew something about that, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." All right. Just a simple illustration. I used to think this was meant one thing, but I think it means something else a couple years ago. But the rod and the staff, those are instruments of defense and direction, but more so it's almost like stationing security guards and having someone who is there that will defend you. Here's David talking about, "I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I feel threatened all around me. I feel threats all the time." And David knew something about that. And it just feeling, I'm not just feeling threats, I am threatened. I am literally threatened with my life. And then David thinks about all of those threats, and he says, but thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Meaning, the Lord provides a buffer, a defense against the oncoming threats. And so there's comfort and protection. Comfort and protection. If he's the faithful shepherd of my soul, he's a fortress, he's a rock, he's the rock. And so I hide in him, and though the waves and the troubles and the threats of the world are crashing all around and all of that, I have a God who said, for instance, in Corinthians, he says, he will, with every temptation, make a way out. Meaning he's there, he's present. And he provides, if not real defense, he provides escape, he provides just some sort of a buffer, meaning nothing is going to get to me unless the Lord allows this thing to happen. And nothing's going to assault me unless the Lord allows this to happen. And so there's comfort in his protection. And that's something that is necessary. I mean, it's needed. There are so many instances in Psalms where David talks about the Lord my rock, the Lord my shield, all of those things. They're all descriptions of how God protects and keeps his people. And so that is a comfort. If you understand that, and I'll say this, a lot of these things to understand about comfort and where it's found, if you're not familiar with the Bible and not familiar with what God said, you may not have, I would say not access, but you just are ignorant of some of the comforts that God provides. And if you're ignorant of some of the comforts God provides, ultimately that leads to, like I said earlier, that may lead to sin, it may lead to a bad spirit, it just may lead to wrong decisions, things like that. So getting to know God's words is not just a matter of, hey, I'm going to be a good Christian and read the Bible. Getting to know God's words is really a matter of life and making good decisions, understanding what you have, understanding what's available, understanding how God deals with things, understanding your own nature. All of those things are wrapped up in the words of God. And so when people don't understand those things and they're ignorant of those things, then it's just like, God, I have a hard time reading and I have a hard time paying attention and all that kind of stuff. It really, whatever the reason, if you're not familiar with what God's revelation is, you're going to have unnecessary trouble. I mean, unnecessary trouble. Not that you're not going to have, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble anyway, but you're going to have unnecessary, and you're not going to be equipped to deal with stuff that you need to deal with. So this is as much an encouragement to be familiar with the words of God and God's revelation. This is how he helps his people through the words of God. This is his expression, his communication. And so here's one verse. I really could have picked, I think, a lot of verses, but there's comfort in his protection. Going back to that Corinthians verse, it makes me think that not only does he provide a way out, but he says, look, I'm not going to allow you to be tempted above what you're able. Second thing is, no temptation has taken you but such as common to man. And that seems to be one of the sticking points for people. You get isolated in this thought that you're the only one that deals with this, and you're not the only one that deals with this. That's a lie. It's not true. And so, and people say they don't deal with it. That's a lie. They do deal with these things. And so, such the temptations, it's common to man, and the Lord will, with the temptation, make a way out. Hebrews, I'll never leave thee, forsake thee. But the point is, God, he will not suffer. It says it in Psalms, I think, will not suffer the soul of the righteous to hunger, something like that. And so he is protection. He is protection. And there's comfort in that. There's comfort in his protection. There's comfort in knowing that whatever, if I'm serving God, and there's attacks that show up, I am comforted in knowing he's well aware of the attacks. He's well aware of what's going on. And he, for some reason, he's allowed this to happen. And so I should get that mindset and say, okay, he's allowed this to happen. I'm not going to get bitter about it. I'm not going to get mad about it because the Lord is well aware of this. So there's comfort in his protection. Here's another one. So many in this. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll go a little bit ahead here. Comfort in protection. Comfort in forgiveness. Comfort in forgiveness. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I have heard, and you probably have too, sometimes when people trust Jesus Christ and they finally just give up on their own righteousness, they're done trying to make something happen with God, or they finally give up on their own righteousness and they yield to the righteousness of God. They trust Jesus Christ. And sometimes what people say is, man, I just feel like a burden was lifted. Like I don't carry this. And the reality is, yeah, you don't carry that weight anymore. You're carrying a weight that you can't carry. What is that? That is forgiveness. What is that? That's comfort. All of y'all familiar with carrying heavy loads, and then somebody comes along and helps you out. Man, there's some relief there. And so there's comfort in forgiveness. This is the second one. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. So Paul was dealing with some sin in the Corinthian church. The guy got the sin right. And now Paul's giving instruction after the man's made the thing right. He says, so that contrariwise, ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with over much sorrow. So here's comfort in forgiveness. And what's interesting about this one, there is comfort in God's forgiveness. That's clear. The Lord takes on the burden of sin. He carries that. And then, but then it's interesting in this verse that this is delegated to people. And sometimes some of these comforts are our responsibility. As far as, you know this feeling. I'm sure you're familiar with this. Where you are mad at somebody. And never been mad. I don't know what that means. So you're frustrated, you're mad, you're bitter, and you would rather hold this over this person and make them feel bad about it rather than letting it go, forgiving, and releasing them and letting them be free of the guilt. But you know that it hurts them as long as you hold it over their head. And so here's Paul dealing with the Corinthians, and he says, look, the guy, he's got this thing right. And so there's no need to continue to hang this burden over him. Let it go. Let him go. I mean, he's repentant about it. This isn't like we're just going to gloss over the sin and we're going to pretend like it doesn't exist. No, this is a guy who got it right. He was corrected and he repented. He got the thing right. And Paul says, okay, now your responsibility is to forgive. Quit holding it over his head. Don't make him overburdened with sorrow, because you know that's what it does. You know, when you keep holding this and dangling it about, and well, I know what you did, and I mean, and you know how that makes this person just, it's burdened with their own guilt. And so you know how forgiveness is with the Lord. I mean, when he forgives you, you're released, or you let go, you're free, you got liberation, things like that. And then turn around and do this to other people. So comfort and forgiveness. Paul puts those two things together. He says, you ought to forgive and you ought to comfort. That's the next step here. The next step is release this thing, let it go, and put it behind you. Not that we're ignoring sin. We're dealing with somebody who has put it behind them as best they can, but we're trying to restore a relationship here. So comfort in forgiveness. I was going to go to Psalm 51, but you don't have to go there. David lists so many things in that chapter and that prayer about what guilt has done to his life. And it's real guilt. This isn't like not, it's not real. It's real guilt. And he just goes through and lists all these things and how it's affected his life. And so with all of that burden, and his was real. I mean, he had real sin and all that. But understanding what forgiveness does, it relieves the pressure. It releases the burden. It liberates. It helps. There's comfort in it. There's relief in it. So there's comfort in forgiveness, and you can apply it to God's forgiveness of a sinner. But then there's also our responsibility of forgiveness toward each other whenever there is some repentant heart and things like that. So comfort and forgiveness. Here's another one. So you got comfort in God's protection. You got comfort in forgiveness. Romans chapter 15. Comfort in the scriptures. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Yeah, I'm a little warm. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. This goes along with what we're talking about knowing the Bible, getting familiar with the words of God. Because if you're not, you're going to be unfamiliar with the comfort that he provides. And then there's consequences to not participating in the comfort and not receiving the comfort you need. In your body, okay? When your body doesn't receive the comfort it needs, what does it feel like? It feels like pain. That's what it feels like. Spiritually, same thing. You don't have the comfort, it feels like pain, and you react a certain way, and you live a certain way, and all that. So here's another one. Comfort in the scriptures. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. There you go. So comfort provides hope. Where is that comfort found in this verse? Comfort's found in the scriptures. I mean, I can't stress it enough to be familiar with the Bible and learn things from the Bible. Get what you need out of the words of God. Be familiar with it. The ignorance of the Bible, as time goes on in our culture, it's obviously becoming greater and greater. Like, people just don't know. And you have a generation, there's some, I don't know, I mean, university, college, young people. Like, young people, like, I know our kids work and they're around young people, and they're around folks that have no idea. I mean, you're talking about no idea that Genesis is in the Bible. No, just no idea. No thought about it. You can say, well, they should have grown up around it. They might have grown up around. I don't know. But they don't have any idea about just basic stuff. And I'll tell you, from a pastor point of view, and you watch, you know, generations and people grow and the culture drift farther away, and people who can be Christian drift farther away from the Lord and from the words of God. And I don't know, sometimes I think about, and if maybe I do it too much, but in some cases I feel like there's so much explanation needed for verses. It's like I can pick a verse and we can maybe make a little spiritual thing to it. But if you don't know what's happening in the context of what's going on, then you really don't know what's being said. I mean, you can just pick a verse and say, God has great plans for me and all that. You know, find the Jeremiah 29 verse and God has great plans for me. And, I mean, you have no idea really what he's talking about, but it's positive. But to understand the Bible and to understand what God is actually talking about requires context, requires knowing a little bit about some of the what's happening here. And some of the reason we've gone through books of the Bible, and I don't mean to go down this trail, but just to explain some things, but it's so that we can understand context. We can understand why things are being said. Why is David acting like this? Why does God say this to David? Why did Samuel have to say this to the nation of Israel? And putting these things in context gives it that's the application of the words. And that's exactly what Paul says here in Romans, what the Holy Ghost through Paul says in Romans. Look, these things are written. They're written in history and they're written for your learning so that you can know about how God has dealt with people, and you can know about people, and you can know through these things you have hope. And you have comfort. And you can learn about, hey, maybe the cycles in my life have already been played out before. Maybe the things that are going on in my life have already been witnessed before in history, and guarantee they have been. And so the Lord puts these things in writing. He has them recorded. And the purpose is, it's not just dead history. It's history that instructs. And so there's comfort in the scriptures, and that's the purpose. The Lord records these things so that people could have comfort and learn about all kinds of things, just how God deals with people, how the nature of people, all that kind of thing. So you got that. Comfort in the scriptures. And thank you for the rain, Lord. We got to get some rain. I'm dreading mowing again, but you know what? Just... yesterday, as soon as I mowed, as soon as it was done, started raining. Oh. Here's another one. This one you may not believe, though. You may not believe this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. And then maybe 31 too. Let me see. Yes. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. Now I warn you, you may not believe this, but this is right. This is true. It's a Bible verse. There is comfort in preaching. Preaching. Okay? Okay, maybe you do believe it. That's good. Verse 3, yeah. But he that prophesieth, and this is like preaching. This is sort of used as preaching. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. So prophecy is not, the way the Bible uses the word is, well, the definition of it is the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so whether that's future or past or present, that is what prophecy is. And prophecy is preaching Jesus Christ. That's prophecy, preaching, used interchangeably sort of sometimes. And so preaching is a source of comfort. It's supposed to be. I will say I've noticed, even before being a pastor, but I've noticed people come to church, and even if they're in a bad mood, I mean, hey, sometimes you come to church, you're in a bad mood. That happens. And so I've noticed you come to church, you sit under some teaching, preaching, singing songs, be around brothers and sisters in Christ, and by the time that you leave, I've felt this way. By the time I leave, I feel better. Even if the message was painful, I still feel better. It's like taking a shower or something. It's like taking a bath. You just feel better. You feel cleaned up a little bit. And so there's comfort in preaching. We need preaching. And really, seriously, that leads to this point. There is nothing magical about sitting on church property. There's nothing magical about showing up and just sitting in a pew. There's nothing magical about just showing up and just being on the real estate. Where the magic happens is when the words of God go out, you hear them, you listen, and they affect your heart and they affect your mind. So, because I've heard this. Well, I just want my kids to grow up in church. Just because people show up doesn't mean anything's happening. And there's nothing magic about just being in the building. And if you don't get that, you're going to be severely disappointed about church. Because if you're not paying attention, if you're not listening, if you're not trying to get something from God's words, He can't comfort you the way He needs to. He can't help you the way He needs to, because again, your physical body sitting in a physical pew does nothing if you're not engaged in what God's saying. And I'm not trying to say, you know, it's just like you're out, you know, I'm God's whatever. But it's just, the point is, God has to speak, you and I have to listen, and that's where things happen. Not just showing up, not just being around, not just rubbing shoulders with some Christians. So there's comfort in preaching, comfort in the scriptures, comfort in preaching. So you watch and sometimes, and I've been guilty of this, sometimes I'm so distracted about things going on, I'm so distracted that God can't comfort me the way He wants to because I'm not paying attention. And He's trying to comfort, He's trying to help. But I've got this on my mind, I'm thinking about this, I'm trying to do this, well, what are you going to do? We're going to mow the yard, And the Lord's like, hey, shut it, stop, just stop. Listen, just listen to what I'm telling you. I'm trying to help you. It's like a mother or father with a kid, just stop, listen to me, I'm trying to help you. And so that all gets kind of blown out the window if there's distractions. Now, if there's intentional distractions, the same thing is true. You're not listening, you're not getting anything, and so just sitting in a chair, just sitting in a pew does not help you. Paul said it this way, in that chapter where he talks about Lord's Supper, it's so wild. He says, when you get together, it's not for the good.
Like, what preacher tells the congregation, hey, you showing up to church is not good? when you're coming here, it's not good. Why is it not good? Because your spirit's not right. Because when you come here, you make a mess. And then other people have to clean up the mess. So come with the right spirit. What's the point in all of this is there's comfort in the scriptures, but this one is there's comfort in preaching. This is a source of God's comfort. This is how he helps his people. Two more, real quick. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13. What'd you say, Tony? Special. Let's do it. We got time. I don't know. If you've never heard Renee sing, you don't want to hear her sing. No. If you could just control the... I don't want to discourage you from singing. Do what, Marcy? No, keep singing. Keep singing loud. Joy, keep singing loud. Yes, just sing loud, because I need all the help I can get in there now that it's gone. Yeah, keep singing loud. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Here's another comfort, another source of comfort. Comfort in protection, comfort in forgiveness, comfort in the scriptures, comfort in preaching. Comfort in fellowship. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 13 says... Oh, that's why it's... There it is. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort. Yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. There's comfort in fellowship. And there are, again, so many verses about this. But and you know it. You know the feeling. You know the comfort of being with God's people and enjoying fellowship. I think about so many illustrations with this, but there's comfort in serving together. You know, and you think of with use sports as an illustration. I mean, you play on a football team together and you get hurt together and you sweat together and all of those things. And what it does is it creates a bond, and all of that work in the trenches and exertion and getting tired together and things like that. There's something to all that, but in Jesus Christ, there's just more to it. I mean, it works that way too. I mean, you serve together, you sometimes get hurt together, and then sometimes, you know, you share victories, and when you're together, there's burdens that are divided among many people. And that's what's neat about multiplying the people. It's the burdens are shared and they're dispersed and they're scattered out, and you can kind of spread the load a little bit. And then when there's joy, the joy is multiplied because everybody participates in the joy. And so there's comfort in fellowship. So many times one faithful group in the Bible is comforted by another group of faithful people, which has some instruction to it. The instruction is to be faithful. Because you in the same way that fellowship is a comfort, broken fellowship is a discouragement. And so it's important to be faithful. It's important to help carry the load. And James talks a little bit about some of that stuff. It's like, you know, if you there's somebody who needs help and you can help and you can provide that. Man, when you provide that, that's a joy. That's a blessing. It's a blessing. Comfort and fellowship. A lot more could be said about that, but you understand it. I think you're familiar with that. Comfort and fellowship. There's comfort there. Let's see. All right, we'll do this last one. This is the last one. Comfort and fellowship, and then this one. Comfort in the future. Comfort in the future. Hope. 1 Thessalonians. Look in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter. Oh, there's a couple of these. Chapter 4, verse 18, and then I'm going to skip over to chapter 5. Comfort in the future. This is one that really a lot of the world just so worried about what's going to happen and what's going to happen and trying to control what's going to happen and things like that. There's a tremendous comfort with God's people and what the future is. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, after this long talk about the end and seeing Jesus Christ, he says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." It's talking about the future. Now, skip over to chapter 5, verse 8. "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation." The hope of salvation. You can't describe it any better than that. But what the comfort of hope does, man, it really keeps people sane where they need to be kept sane. And when people are worried about what the future is, there, depending on what they're worried about, they'll make some decisions that may not be good decisions. So the hope of salvation, the helmet, as a helmet, that's a comfort, that's a source of relief. It's a source of, I'm going to take this stress away. You don't have to worry about this. And so it keeps people sane. If you're saved, hope of salvation keeps you sane. It should. Gives you perspective on the future. Makes you want to be sanctified because you're thinking about the future. You're thinking about what's coming up and seeing Jesus Christ. And it can prevent you from being desperate in this life. That's what hope does. I mean, when people, it's another lesson, but another thought. But man, when people lose hope, and people do, and Christians lose hope, it's real. It's a real thing. People lose hope. It can be really bad, and so you see how important hope is because of what it does to people who don't have it. When you don't have it, you can see how important it is to have hope. And so there's the comfort of hope in the future, and the Lord just, look, this is the way things will work out. This is what I'm going to do. You have this promise. And I think about, you know, when Job said what he said, you know, in Job 19, "I know that my Redeemer liveth," and all that. It's like, this is the only thing I have to hold on to. I look around and I don't have anything else. I've lost my family. I've lost everything. I've lost it all. And it's just, but I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I know that he'll stand at the last day. And I know that though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I'll see God. And so there was some hope in the Redeemer and the redemption. And to God's people, there is hope. And that's comfort. It's comfort. That helmet of salvation, the helmet of the hope of salvation, is a helmet. It keeps the mind focused right. It keeps other thoughts from entering in that shouldn't enter in. That's why it's a helmet. So you got comfort in protection, comfort in forgiveness, comfort in the scriptures, comfort in preaching, comfort in fellowship, and comfort in the future. And that's a few of them. That's a few of them that the Lord puts out there that you and I ought to know about. Comforts in this life. It's not pleasures, it's comforts. And comforts. So let's pray. We'll wrap this one up. Father, thank you so much for this time together. I pray it's been helpful. I really do want to be encouraging and comforting and kind of show the sources of water, show where the good water is and where the nourishment and refreshing is in the Bible. So I pray that you would help us make these applications that need to be made. I thank you for each soul that's here. Lord, thank you for this time together, this opportunity to be together. Thank you that Randy's healing up so quickly. That's such a blessing. Good to see Renee back. And Lord, thank you for Darla and Kevin getting better. Father, but I pray that you'd continue to minister to us, feed us, help us, because we need help. And thank you so much for the rain. We desperately need it. And you've been good to us about giving us rain lately, and I appreciate it, and so many other people do. And so thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.